Coming up on New York Now, Attorney General candidate Sean Patrick Maloney tells us why he's the best choice for Democrats.
She loved me just fine until I started beating her in this race, so that's just politics. But here's the point. The point is when everybody's criticizing you, you're probably doing something right in a primary. There's a reason they're worried about me, because I'm winning this race.
And Ken Lovett of the Daily News joins us at the Reporters Roundtable.
I think it's going to be a very close race. The polls have showed that. I think really it's a three-horse race. Mm-hmm. It's between James and Maloney and Teachout. Teachout really seems to be getting some momentum, especially among progressives.
It's next on New York Now, right here on PBS.
Funding for New York Now is provided by WNET. Additional funding provided by the Leo Cox Beach Philanthropic Foundation. Winner of a New York State Emmy for Best Political Program. This is New York Now.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to New York Now. I'm Matt Ryan. My partner from the Times Union, Casey Seiler, is off today. Right off the bat, we're going to analyze the week's news, and happy to have our friend and colleague from the New York Daily News, Ken Lovett, joining us at the big table. Ken, thanks for popping in today.
It's good to be back.
We're going to localize some national stories here, not just some national stories, but two huge national stories. Paul Manafort guilty on 8 of 18 counts in a federal courthouse in Virginia. And then Michael Cohen pleads guilty to 8 counts, including 2 felony campaign finance violations. Fast forward a little closer to home, and there are some developing stories here. First, we learned Thursday that Manhattan DA Cy Vance is considering criminal prosecution of the Trump Organization for this hush payment.
Yeah, late to the table, as other people have been looking into it, but he's now involved. The tax department is looking into it, and the AG's office, the state AG's office, already had a civil lawsuit filed against the Trump Foundation and Trump himself and his 3 kids. So you're seeing that kind of hit home now. On top of that, the state tax department on Wednesday sent out a subpoena to Michael Cohen, because Michael Cohen's lawyer said, oh, he has a lot of stuff he'd like to talk to the feds and New York State about.
Right.
And that has to be the Trump Foundation. So immediately the tax department sent out a subpoena to Cohen. And amazingly, it was Cohen himself, not his lawyer, who called the tax department and said, when do you want to talk?
The guy in the line, he says he's Michael Cohen. Pretty unbelievable. And that kind of leads to, we last saw folks last weekend, right before Donald Trump started to go after Andrew Cuomo on Twitter for his, what most people consider his gaffe last week about America was never that great.
Yeah, now the governor has gone on hyperdrive in attacking. He's trying to turn lemons into lemonade. He got national attention and national hostilities from a lot of people for the comments. But now he's doubled down. He's changed it in that just saying that America, you know, there's been issues for a lot of different groups, which was what his message was supposed to be, just as he said, inartfully delivered.
Right, right.
But, you know, he came out on Sunday. He was at a church and just blistered the president, you know, called him un-American, called him King Trump, compared him to a neighborhood racist. So he's really up the ante. And now you see him doing it again with this tax department, although technically, you know, he's not supposed to be involved with the tax department investigations. He also came out and said that he, for the first time, that he wants to see the closure of the double jeopardy loophole, meaning that if the president pardons any of these people and the state wants to bring charges against them for crimes committed in New York, under current law, they can't do that. He wants to change that. The attorney general wants to change that. A whole bunch of people do. And that says that New York can continue its investigations and prosecute on state charges if need be.
He asked the legislature to do this, of course. Any chance they come back to Albany to actually do this?
I would say zero chance they come back to Albany, maybe in January. But I don't see the Senate Republicans running to do this right now. And we don't know who's going to be in charge. And even some Democrats are wary of it. They want to see how it's worded because they're worried, you know, they believe that double jeopardy is needed in the criminal justice system, you know, in terms of barring it, that you can't prosecute someone who's already been acquitted of a crime. You can't re-prosecute them on it. So they want to make sure that it's, if they do anything, that it's really narrow toward the presidential pardons.
Let's move to the campaign. The governor, his campaign went to court to try to stop a Mark Molinaro ad that paints him in a not so good light.
And he lost. Yeah, Molinaro basically has an ad up. The timing was curious, but the ad hits Cuomo on corruption and how all these people close to the governor have been convicted or pled guilty to criminal charges. And there was one line in there that said he was under investigation for money that went to a healthcare firm,
Crystal Run,
down in Orange County. This firm got $25 million after it gave the governor $400,000. The governor's people complained that there is no evidence, there's been no stories saying that the governor himself is under investigation. It's been Crystal Run that's been under investigation. So they said it's misleading and false, and they tried to get it pulled down, but it didn't happen.
You said the timing was curious. Do you think that ad should have been earlier?
Well, no. You know, the fact that it's coming in August and right before the Democratic primary, you know, led a lot of people to believe that this was done to help Cynthia Nixon, Cuomo's primary challenger, to either help her and to also soften up Cuomo. Because to put an ad up, if you're a Republican, you have limited money, to put an ad up in August when people are on vacation and not necessarily paying attention, it's odd timing and an odd use of money. You figured he would have waited until after the primary.
Cynthia Nixon was in Albany on Thursday talking about a lot of different things, including Mark Molinaro. She said she would choose Cuomo over Mark Molinaro. She didn't completely rule out continuing to run on the Working Families party line if she loses to Cuomo.
No, she reiterated that if she loses to Cuomo, they'll discuss then, but she's going to win, she said, and she sees the pathway to win. But what she was asked, like, you've had all these criticisms of the governor. Do you think Molinaro would be a better governor? And she said no, that you know, the governor has issues, but I'd rather, and these are her words, I'd rather a Democrat who talks like a Democrat but governs like a Republican than someone who governs as a Republican and talks like a Republican.
We've got a debate next week coming up in New York City between Cynthia Nixon and Andrew Cuomo. What are you looking for?
This is a first. We haven't seen this in a very long time. I think it was the last time a one-on-one debate with Cuomo was when he ran for Attorney General against Jeanine Pirro.
Yeah.
So it's going to be interesting. Obviously, Nixon is hoping to score points. She's hoping that the governor loses his cool, that she could jibe him. You know, he's known for his temper. He gets testy. That's what I think you're going to see her try to do. And he's going to try, I'm sure his advisors are telling him, to stay above the fray, tout your record, don't take the bait.
Couple more questions. Jumaane Williams is running for lieutenant governor against Kathy Hochul. We've seen Kathy Hochul almost live in New York City, according to her public schedule the last month. How worried is she, and how worried is the Cuomo camp about Jumaane Williams?
I think they're worried. They're spending a lot of money. She's raised money, which she hadn't done before as a lieutenant governor. As you said, New York City is where Jumaane Williams is from. If he has a base, it's there. Mm-hmm. And so I think they're worried enough. Look, the poll, a Siena poll came out, and these primaries are hard to poll.
Yes.
But Siena poll came out, and she only had a 9-point lead, but most people didn't know how they were going to vote, so it's still up in the air.
Let's move to another very interesting primary here in our last minute or so. New York Attorney General race. We're going to talk to Sean Patrick Maloney here in a few minutes. He's vying for the job against Lecia Eve, Tish James, and Zephyr Teachout, who picked up a big endorsement this week.
Yeah, Teachout got the New York Times, and if you're running in a Democratic primary, that's a key endorsement, especially when you're trying to win, you know, take over the progressives. I think it's going to be a very close race. The polls have showed that. I think really it's a three-horse race. Mm-hmm. It's between James and Maloney and Teachout. Teachout really seems to be getting some momentum, especially among progressives. But with all primaries, it depends who's going to come out to vote.
Yep.
Letitia James is known in New York City. She even has a lot of progressive support. And she's still probably the favorite, but certainly Teachout seems to be coming on strong.
We get all those releases. It seems like every day Tish James is coming out with this union endorsing her, or these elected leaders. You know, Sean Patrick Maloney says, you know, she can take that, but that's on paper, that's awfully hard to overcome.
It is, especially in a statewide race. You know, if it's a local race, you can knock on doors, you can do a lot of things. But again, a primary, it's all turnout, 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 and we don't know what that's going to be, how much, and you know, where it comes from.
And Zephyr Teachout maybe getting a little boost from Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. She's having a rally for her this Friday.
Yeah, we'll see if she has any coattails.
Right. All right, our thanks to Ken Lovett for joining us this week.
Good to be.
All right, now, as promised, our interview with Attorney General candidate Sean Patrick Maloney. In 2012, he ousted a Republican incumbent in the Hudson Valley to become the first openly gay member of Congress from the Empire State. We sat down with the outspoken representative to discuss his campaign, his opponents, and possibly running for two offices next month. All right, Congressman Maloney, thanks for joining us here in studio. Before we get into why you're running for AG, we'll give our statewide audience a little background. Here, you flipped a Republican seat in 2012 in the Hudson Valley, have been serving in Congress ever since then, and you've worked for some pretty prominent Democrats in Washington and New York.
Yeah, that's right. I've got about 25 years of experience in the public and private sector. I was in the White House senior staff for President Clinton. I worked here for two Democratic governors as the first deputy secretary, overseeing a bunch of state agencies and departments. I've spent 6 years in Congress. I beat a Republican three times in a row, beat an incumbent, had a rematch, won in 2016 in a district that Donald Trump won, but I won by 11. So I've got a bunch of public sector experience, but I've also run major investigations in the private sector, working at law firms, and I've negotiated major transactions. I've run a business for 3 years. I ran a software company. So one of the things I'm offering in this race is that combination of skill and experience, and a track record of knowing how to win.
We're really starting to get down to the nitty-gritty here. Yourself, all four candidates are now involved in some forums and some debates. Zephyr Teachout, Tish James, Alicia Eve, yourself. It's great for voters because they can kind of tell some of the differences between the four of you guys. How do you think you're separating yourself? Because that's not easy in a four-way primary.
No, that's right. Well, look, I want people to know who I am, what's in my heart. I just told you some of the things that separate me. Nobody has that level of managerial experience or of Washington experience, you know, being on the front lines against Donald Trump, against the Tea Party, winning at the ballot box against Republicans, winning on the House floor. But, you know, also I'm out there doing town halls. I'm doing 30 town halls in 30 days. I've done 150 town halls since I've been in Congress. Some guys don't do any. And the fact is that I was in Washington Park here in Albany running at 6:30 this morning with a bunch of great folks locally, learning about the gun violence issues in Albany, learning about, you know, the problems people have locally and a lot of the positive stuff too. And the fact is we'll be all over the state, in Rochester and Buffalo. We've been all over New York City and every borough. And we're going to do everything we can. It's a quick race, and I want people to know who I am. But I'm going to win it because I'm bringing the best combination of skills and experience, and I am out there talking to people and learning what matters to them.
You've talked about that 30 for 30. Can we assume that most of your campaigning will be downstate, where the majority of the voters are, Westchester, New York City, Long Island?
Well, you know,
we've seen that from some of the other candidates.
Well, and sure, and there's obviously a lot of people there, and that makes sense. But they're, you know, remember, I'm also someone who doesn't represent New York City. I represent the Hudson Valley, and I live in a small county of Putnam County. So I spent years of my life living and working in the city, and you bet it's important in a Democratic primary. I get it. But, you know, look, I'm somebody who understands what property taxes mean to people outside the city. I'm somebody who works hard to stop the opioid epidemic and the heroin epidemic that is really a problem in a lot of places around New York, not just, you know, urban areas, but really in rural areas and smaller counties. It's terrible what's going on. And I'm somebody who understands how to create jobs and opportunity and infrastructure around the state. Now, the Attorney General's got a special job to do, but one of the things I'm offering is an understanding both of the issues in the city, in the suburbs, and in rural areas.
Let's talk about some of your opponents here. In an interview with City and State, you made note of the fact that Tish James, the New York City public advocate, the party's nominee at the convention, and leader in the last Siena College poll, you said you hope she keeps running a campaign that is propped up by insiders and the political machine. Right. That's her race. My race is not to rely on the governor's fundraising or endorsements. You think the Democratic voters want something else.
Well, look, that's her race, right? I mean, she's getting every insider and
every day
party.
We get those releases.
I mean, my God. Hey, let me talk to Democrats. If you want somebody who is, you know, more of the same, propped up by party insiders and every elected official who's been kicking around and getting nothing done, then you got another choice. That's not me. Vote for somebody else. What I'm offering you is somebody who's qualified and independent, who can stand on their own 2 feet, who doesn't mind standing up to Donald Trump, do it all the time, or Andrew Cuomo, because both of them need to be held accountable. And the job of Attorney General is to be the people's lawyer. And I'll tell you, it has never happened before in this state where a governor has tried to handpick the Attorney General or done all their fundraising and all that stuff. Now, look, Tish James is a good person, and she can speak for herself. I'm just saying we should have somebody who's independent.
What is your relationship like with Andrew Cuomo? You ran against him in 2006 for Attorney General. Tish James has gotten a lot of flack because some people say she's too close to him.
Let me tell you something. I have a lot of respect for Andrew Cuomo, and I think he has done very good things as governor. I don't agree with everything he's done, but I'll tell you, on marriage equality, that was really important in my family, and I will not forget it. And I have praised him to the hilt. And I think it is really important to be both independent and to be able to work with the governor. You need the governor for public referrals sometimes, yep. Corruption, you know, public corruption referrals. You need the governor on a lot of issues. We've seen the limitations of what can get done when you have a feud start, say, between the mayor of New York City and the governor. That doesn't help anybody. I'm not that guy either. I get along with people. I passed 30 bills into law in 5 years in Congress working with Republicans across the aisle because I beat them at the polls, but then I work with them to get something done. And the same is true here. You have to be independent and hold them accountable, but you should get along and be professional, and that's what I'm going to do.
While we're on the topic, you've made no bones about the fact that you're supporting Andrew Cuomo in the Democratic primary. You don't believe Cynthia Nixon is qualified for this position.
Not even close. It's not even close. Look, I understand people are upset about one thing or another, and I know they want to make a point. I don't think you can make an argument that Cynthia Nixon has the experience necessary to be governor of New York, the management experience, the government experience. You know, we have a lot of serious issues in New York, and Andrew Cuomo's been a good governor. I understand she's raising a lot of issues. I understand people want change, and I understand debate's healthy. So I get that. But, yeah, I support the governor, and I think that's actually a pretty easy choice. It doesn't mean he should pick the attorney general of New York, and he needs friends telling him that, and he needs to know when to work with other people.
Sticking with this topic, New York AGs in the past, Elliot Spitzer notably has been called the sheriff of Wall Street. That term has come up in this cycle. Tish James says she doesn't really want anything to do with that moniker. You called it incomprehensibly bizarre and completely disqualifying.
Yeah, look, we all say stupid stuff sometimes. I've probably done it myself.
I saw the governor say something that he's got a lot of flack for.
He did get a lot of flack for it, and it came out kind of dumb, but I think we also know what he meant. What he meant was that we are a great country, but we've got a lot of work to do, and we can be greater still. And so everybody's making a mountain out of that molehill. The truth is, I know what Andrew Cuomo meant. I think most people do. I don't know what the hell Tish James meant. I think that was a doozy. Sheriff of Wall Street is actually exactly what this job is. I mean, we have a law in New York called the Martin Act, which makes the attorney general precisely that, the sheriff of Wall Street and of all kinds of business fraud and corruption. You better want to be the sheriff of Wall Street. Obviously, it's not just that. We've got enormous threats coming from Washington. The Trump administration is coming after New York every way they know how. They're ripping families apart. They're hurting our environment. They're coming after civil rights. They're coming after reproductive rights. I have been in that fight. I've been playing good defense. I want to play offense as Attorney General. But I think I bet you Tish James wishes she had that one back.
Speaking of Tish James, Zephyr Teachout, another one of your opponents, says that you can't possibly be touting yourself as the next Wall Street, a sheriff of Wall Street, because his record says otherwise. She says Donald Trump has made deregulated Wall Street a priority. And she points out in Congress you voted for him with him 34% of the time, including the rollback of the consumer financial protections of the Dodd-Frank Act.
Yeah, that.
I know you have a trouble with that metric.
Well, what a stupid thing to say, and I'm sorry, but anybody with a Google, the Google machine on their computer ought to just realize that Dodd-Frank has not been rolled back. But by the way, both Chris Dodd and Barney Frank supported the thing she's talking about, so how about that? Also, she called me a progressive leader when I was up supporting her in her congressional race just in 2016. She loved me just fine until I started beating her in this race. So that's just politics. But here's the point. Point is, when everybody's criticizing you, you're probably doing something right in a primary. There's a reason they're worried about me, because I'm winning this race. And I am gonna win this primary and win this office. And I am going to accomplish all those progressive goals she's been talking about. I've been doing them in Congress. And when she was losing to a Republican, I was beating them 3 times in a row. So all due respect, I think what Democrats want is somebody who knows how to win. I am tired of losing to Republicans. I want to beat them. And then I want to work with them to get something done.
So we cover the state capitol, and we have seen a lot of corruption in the last 10 years specifically. We've seen it in the Assembly. We've seen it in the Senate. We've seen it from Republicans. We've seen it from Democrats. We always ask each candidate for AG, what's your plan to stop or curb this seemingly never-ending cycle of corruption at the state capitol?
Number one, the attorney general should have primary jurisdiction over public corruption. We have never done that in New York. We have this patchwork of ways that a smart attorney general can get at public corruption, and you got to use them all. But we don't give the attorney general primary jurisdiction. We need a Martin Act for the public sector. We need that tool in our kit. Number one. Number two, you better have a real reformed Joint Committee on Public Ethics up here. That thing is not set up for success. You can't have it hamstrung by a couple of people vetoing things. Mm-hmm. You got to have real independence in terms of the members. So that has to get fixed. Now, both those things require the legislature. So I'm not here telling you that they're going to do those anytime soon. So right. What will I do? What will I do is get every public corruption referral you can get, not just from the governor, but from every authority head, from the controller, from everybody under law who can provide it. And it's more than people realize. In addition to that, in the Medicaid Control Fraud Act, the Attorney General has real authority under any Medicaid-funded entity to go after public corruption. We should. Those dollars should be going to the people who need them. That's a lot of public corruption. In addition to that, you can work with DAs who have primary criminal jurisdiction and provide resources to them. Additional staff, assistant attorneys general, can work alongside DAs who are doing this work. So there's real things we can do. I'll tell you what, though. The number one thing is going to be giving that primary jurisdiction to the Attorney General. You don't need another Moreland Commission because that's always going to be in the governor's back pocket. Mm-hmm. Give the AG the authority to do the job.
All right. I want to touch on one more issue. A judge confirmed earlier this month that you can still run for Congress along with running for Attorney General. You've received from some flack from that, I'm sure, from some of the Republicans in your district. they're saying that this is a backup plan for you. If you don't win the AG race, you know, we're his backup plan. How do you respond to that?
Well, you tend to get flack from people when they make dumb legal arguments and you beat them in court. And you tend to get flack from people when they don't want you in a primary because you know you're a stronger candidate. And you tend to get flack from Republicans when you're a guy like me that has beat them every time we put a ballot in front of people. So I'll tell you what, we are doing this race every way we know how that is ethical and honest and straightforward. I'll look you right in the eye and tell you why I want to be Attorney General. I am not running for Congress. I have suspended all of that stuff, and the only reason I'm still on the ballot is because, as we have all learned through Joe Crowley and Chris Collins, you can't get off a congressional ballot mm-hmm. unless you're nominated for something else. And, of course, this race is not one anyone expected to be in. It came up out of the left field, and I was already the congressional nominee. So this is a bunch of to-do about nothing. Here's the bottom line. The voters can decide this. We're going to have an election. How about that? You saw a bunch of people in Albany try to have a coronation. That was about every agenda under the sun, from who's going to be the mayor of New York City to who's going to balance Andrew Cuomo's ticket. Bunch of stuff that none of you should care about. Those are a bunch of insider political agendas. Instead, we're going to have an election. How about that? We're going to have the voters decide who the Attorney General is. Good.
If you're fortunate enough to win that nomination in September, can that seat stay blue?
Yes. I've spent the last six years of my life turning that seat blue, making it blue, holding it blue. And because I outperformed Hillary Clinton by 14 points in 2016, they couldn't find anybody to run against me. There's a guy running. You've never heard of him. He's not raising any money. He's not going to win that seat. We're not going to lose a single seat in New York, I will predict to you, in Congress. We're going to win seats because it's about time Democrats started winning again. I think we beat John Faso. I think we beat Claudia Tenney. I think we beat Dan Donovan. And I think John Katko better be real worried. Elise Stefanik and Lee Zeldin are right behind him. We are going to win a bunch of seats in New York. We're not going to lose one.
All right, Congressman Sean Patrick Maloney, thanks for stopping by.
My pleasure.
Would you consider voting for Sean Patrick Maloney as Attorney General? That is this week's New York Now poll question. Now that you've heard from him, let us know at nynow.org. Last time out, we asked if the governor's "America was never that great" comment will hurt him with voters, and 62% said yes. Rob in Binghamton, watching on WSKG, said yes with true Americans, but not with the communist left. Francine in Genesee County, watching us on WNED, said Trump won after saying stupid things. People who believe in Cuomo know his true message. Catherine in Hudson was in the majority, saying, unfortunately, it is easy to give it a context of its own and is also taken out of context, considering Cuomo's remarks that followed. And finally, Alan in Montreal, watching on Mountain Lake PBS, life is not easy for millions of people in the U.S. Poverty, racism, victims of violence. Americans need to know that. As Mr. Cuomo said, there's still a lot of work to be done and minds to change before you can call the U.S. the greatest country in the world. Thanks to all those who took the time to vote. We hope to hear from you again at nynow.org. While you're there, you can watch any of our past programs. There are hundreds on our site. And follow links to us on social media, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, where our handle is @nynow_PBS. You'll also find great coverage of state politics from the Capital Confidential blog, also found at timesunion.com. You can argue the most interesting primary race this year in New York is for, and we don't say this too often, Lieutenant Governor. Incumbent Kathy Hochul has been campaigning rigorously this summer, mostly in New York City. That is where her opponent is from, New York City Council member Jumaane Williams. He's our feature interview next week.
I looked at this Lieutenant Governor position that everyone seems to just skip over, and I thought, wait a minute, we shouldn't skip over this. This is a very powerful position. If in the right hands, can really uplift all of the people of the state of New York. And we have a Lieutenant Governor who currently says that the job is basically to be eyes and ears of the governor. I believe the job should be the eyes and ears of the people of the state of New York. In New York City, as you mentioned, there is a public advocate's role that's not connected with the executive, not connected with the legislature, but just to lift the voices of the public. And I think Albany's missing that.
Lieutenant Governor candidate Jumaane Williams is our guest here on New York Now next week. Now, last week, we left you with scenes from the upper Hudson River. This week, we head around 87 miles south in Rensselaer County, overlooking the Albany skyline. I'm Matt Ryan. Thanks for watching, and we'll see you next time right here on your local PBS station.